I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
So I've got a weird problem, John. I need some advice on
it. Okay.
So I look in the mirror this morning, and I notice that I've got a lot of gray hairs in my eyebrows.
Okay.
And I do not want silver hair is fine. I do not want silver hair for eyebrows.
Yeah.
Should I color my eyebrows?
Sure. It's easy.
So?
Yeah, just tell whoever cuts your hair to do it. They'll do it.
So it's okay to color your eye. That's
sure.
Nothing wrong with that. Yeah, I don't want gray in my eyebrows.
Let me tell you something.
Yeah.
There is nothing wrong with any type of cosmetic enhancement.
Oh, nice.
If you want to dye your eyebrows, if you want to get a nose job, if you're a woman and you want to enhance your upper body strength and it makes you feel better, go for it. Don't do anything dangerous and don't overdo it. But I think any type of cosmetic improvement that makes you feel better about yourself is a good thing. Go for it.
You don't think it's a sign of insecurity?
No. No, because you like dark eyebrows better than gray ones? Why?
Yeah, I don't want silver eyebrows.
I do.
That'd be awful.
You want silver eyebrows?
No, I just think it's insecurity.
Why? Oh, screw you.
Because, like, it's your eyebrows. I don't think people are going like, oh, my God, have you seen Mason's eyebrows?
No,
well,
but
no,
Mason sees them, and he thinks about it, and it affects his confidence.
Right,
yeah,
but nobody cares
and I
except
look
for
like
you.
I look like a different person with silver eyebrows than I do with brown eyebrows.
Does Juan care about your silver eyebrows?
Couldn't give a damn.
Well,
but
I think that's
this
all that
isn't no. This isn't
it's
about
all
Juan.
In my head.
It's about you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
No. Go for it. By the way, the answer to any question about a cosmetic enhancement is if it makes you feel better about yourself. Screw what everybody else thinks.
There you go. Okay. Good.
You be you, man.
I'll get some Just for Men in here and
exactly.
Fix my eyebrows up by the time I get back. Or to the
I'm sure. Dean, now do you go to a barbershop or to a salon to get your haircut?
I go.
I know this has been a thing with you. You cheated on someone.
Yeah, I had a hair affair with somebody, and now I've gone back. So I went from salon to barbershop and back to salon.
The girl who cuts my hair did a preemptive. She knew. She sensed I could be thinking about a hair affair. And so I was trying to book an appointment with her, and here's when I can come in. And I gave her two or three things. She goes, I can't do any of those. I go, and I text her back. I said, okay, I'll work something out. And she interpreted that as, I might cheat on you.
Oh.
And she writes back to me, I've been with her for years.
Yeah, you go to the same place for a long time.
It used to be
exactly
right by your old house.
Yeah.
Yeah, she opened her own place now in Santa Monica. So Mandy Myers, shout out. Mandy texted me back, and she goes, don't you even think of cheating on me. And so I didn't. I worked it out.
Oh, wow. So she knew it was coming.
Yep.
All right, I wanted to get to this. I was surprised by a poll that came out over the weekend, and I want to get your take on it. Put up a poll. This is an actual, like, Gallup or LA Times or something like that. So I don't want to talk about any propositions, but
yep.
This is just the poll on gambling.
Okay.
54% of Californians do not want sports gambling available on mobile devices. Does that surprise you?
Yes. Again, I would say we're behind the times if we can't gamble on our phones. What do you think the reason is? Are they afraid people are going to get addicted?
Hooked. Yeah, I think that's what it is. I mean,
but it's a huge revenue stream for the state.
Gigantic for the state. The tax revenue is just incredible.
And by the way, no one like. I'm kind of a libertarian with stuff like this. No one's making me download a gambling app and betting on my phone.
Although it is crazy to me that literally you can open your phone once this passes, because some, by hook or by crook, we're going to wind up gambling on our phones.
Right. And in most states, you can do it now anyway.
It scares me to think I could bet the second half over with a touch of a button. Because I think I have got a compulsive personality.
Well, you saw me last night. As soon as I lost that parlay, I sent out another note to you guys.
Hey,
bad money after bad. Let's go. But isn't that on me?
Yeah.
It's not your job or the government's job to protect me from myself.
Yeah.
I should have the option, shouldn't
I? I'm 100% with you. I'm just surprised that the majority
me too.
Don't want it.
Yeah.
All right, I want to get to another thing here. the one thing I noticed watching football over the weekend, John, is that there has been a gigantic rise in the power of announcers. So we know that Troy Aikman and Joe Buck and Al Michaels and all these guys went everywhere and are making gigantic money. Tony Romo, all those guys.
Yep.
So I'm watching a Rocket Mortgage commercial yesterday, and who do you think the spokesperson is? The great Gus Johnson.
Good for him.
I was watching a Cadillac Lyric commercial. They've apparently got something called the Lyric.
Electric car, yeah.
Electric car. Joel Klatt was the endorser on that. And it made
keep
me
getting
think,
them checks, Joel.
It made me think, you know what? Announcers, and it's probably cheaper than getting Josh Allen to do your spot, right? Gus
Correct.
Johnson or Joel Klatt.
Correct.
But you are getting a bit of the game in there. I just think we're seeing a rise of the power of announcers, John. You should own your power as voice of the Lakers.
Well, I'm restricted by what I can and can't advertise. Like, for example, I can only do ads for Toyota or Lexus. Because they have a long-standing relationship with the Lakers.
Got it.
But you are free. Like, you do ads for your friend John Patterson. And,
yes.
You know, he owns, what, a Hyundai dealer and a Genesis dealer.
And an Acura
Mazda.
Dealer.
I think he has an OC Mazda.
OC Mazda, yeah. I drive a Mazda.
Yeah, but I wouldn't hesitate to hire these announcers. They're,
no.
I mean, by the way, some of these guys are bigger than the games they do.
Oh,
I mean,
Gus Johnson? Or you look for a Gus Johnson. You root for a Gus Johnson game.
Right. And, I mean, you look at Tony Romo and Kerbstreet and Aikman, and those guys are all killing it. Good for them.
They are.
Hey, speaking of announcers, did you see where College Game Day was last week?
Yeah, Boone, North Carolina.
Okay, so they're at Boone, North Carolina, and because App State pulled off that incredible upset at Texas A&M the week before. But it was a weird time to go to App State because – did you see who they were playing? They were playing Troy.
Troy, yeah.
Troy and App State are kind of mirror images of each other. They're the team you don't want to schedule because they're overachievers, they're small schools, and when you bring them in, they've pulled off over the years a bunch of upsets. So it's a little embarrassing. You pay them to come in.
Yeah.
Like App State got $1.5 million to go to Texas A&M and take that game, and then they beat the Aggies.
Yeah.
So App State, I want you to tell me what you think of this call, all right? App State's playing Troy at App State. College Game Day goes there, does a two-hour advertisement for App State. It's a great show. And then the game happens. And sure enough, App State's down by five on the last play of the game.
And the quarterback is Chase Bryce.
Right, and I'll just play for you what happens. This is the radio call from the App State radio network. Here we go.
They have everybody back to try to knock one down. Three-man rush. Chase going to step up in the pocket. Sets. Throws high into the air. It's up for grabs. It is juggled.
He got it! He got it! He got it! He got it! With the touchdown! It's a touchdown! It's a touchdown! Miracle on the mound! Miracle part two! It's miracle part two!
Mountaineers, baby. Yes, sir.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes, sir. What a play.
Deflected back into the arms of Christian Horde.
And
storm the field. App State wins on Miracle on the Mountain, part two. Final score, App State 32, Troy 28. It is great to be a Mountaineer.
Woo!
That's an excellent call. Excellent call.
I accept that the color.
I'm no engineer, but I think they may have been overmodulated.
Yeah, and the color guy killed him. The color guy absolutely killed the play-by-play guy.
He never shut up.
Right, and so you couldn't hear what was happening other than just people screaming through the radio.
Did you like it or not like it?
I think that it happened so infrequently that it was fine. But that is like rule. Like if you ever watch and listen to big plays over the years or end of games, color guys who have been there before, like you'll never hear Troy Aikman or Tony Romo or, oh, here, I this is a play from a couple of years ago when Rajon Rondo beat the Celtics in Boston.
Oh, sure, I remember this.
And listen to how Michael lets me breathe. I'm very thankful for that Michael pulled this off. I'm looking for, here it is.
Lakers still have 11 seconds, no timeout. They get the ball to Ingram. 10 seconds to go in the game. Ingram dribbles into the front court. Ingram still dribbling. Ingram to the rim, all the way to the basket. Blocked by Horford. Ball's loose. Grabbed by Rondo for the win. He got it! Rajon Rondo at the buzzer. A follow-away two-pointer. Lakers 129. Celtics 128. It's over on a game winner by Rajon Rondo. How do you like them apples?
Did you, that's a great call.
Did
man.
You notice, though, how Michael let me go, which yes. is a really cool thing for a color guy to do? In the other game, like, you just hear, like here's this other call. The minute the guy
everybody
catches
back,
it, the color guy just kills
down.
Him.
Three-man rush. Chase going to step up in the pocket. Sets. Throws high into the air. It's up for grabs. It is juggled.
All right, so what just happened?
Yeah, we don't know exactly. We assume something good happened if you're an App State fan, right?
I love that, though. Are you kidding me? That's how I want my calls to go.
Yeah, emotion.
I mean, I get it as a play-by-play announcer, but for us listening, that's amazing to me. That means that it really got excited. You know they won, obviously. That's all you need.
Right, but what happened?
Who cares? They won. Wait.
But if you're driving in your car, don't you want to know what
happened?
You
want to know where he caught it and how it happened?
Point? Yeah, well, if you don't assume they scored, you're an idiot. But but it's interesting.
But you don't know how.
Yeah, and for plays like that, I actually don't mind it. But that's what you can tell, like, Aikman, Romo, Herbstreit would never do that. You know, they would never go bananas.
No,
they would let
serious.
The call go.
See, you'd be like Chick Hearn in Winning Time where he puts his hand up.
I don't even have to with Michael. Michael's so good. He knows when to go and when not to. But I thought that was a good call.
Yeah, I think it's a fun call. I like it a lot. All right, coming up next for you, Dodgers 101-44, 101 wins versus 44 losses. And an amazing fact about the 1-2-3 in that lineup. We got that coming up.
That and who you would want if a zombie attack happens at Dodger Stadium, who you would want in your corner.
Perfect. We have that coming up for you, too. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
All right, a few things here. By the way, if you want to tweet during the show, search out the Mason and Ireland Mafia. John, are you in the Mafia?
Yeah, I'm not using it correctly, but like when I did my AMA, I tried to quote tweet everything, and it didn't. It went into my regular Twitter and not the Mafia Twitter.
Yeah.
So I got to get better at it. But I got it open now.
Okay, so some stuff that has come in through the Mason and Ireland Mafia, Radio Michael fan. I clear my browsing history after every time I browse. It is my habit. It is what I do.
How about this? Mace, you should get a company to sponsor your eyebrows like NASCAR.
That's a good idea. It's a good idea. Here's my favorite one, by the way. This is, I'm not sure about anything. Mace, you already look really weird and creepy with white hair, so if you add a little more to your creepy look, it makes you happy. Get after it. Hashtag going for the Santa look. It's not going to happen. I am not going for the Santa look.
Do it.
Well, it would be very useful in December.
In December, I would kick ass.
Just make some Santa Mace.
Just take a pillow in your stomach and waddle around and be Santa. You can make a little extra dough.
Instead of Santa Slee, it could be Santa Mace.
Oh, Santa Mace. Yeah.
But you have to gain more weight. You can't lose weight.
Yeah, no, I'm down. By the way, COVID diet, I'm down to 202.
Okay, moving in the right direction.
I'm getting there.
All right, so if the station got attacked by zombies,
yep,
and you could pick one person here to fight the zombies with you, you get one current ESPN LA employee. Briones, who are you taking?
Kirk Morrison.
Me too.
Yeah.
I think that's the answer.
Kirk Morrison's a great call.
Yeah. Mace, who are you taking?
I am taking, let's see, who would do it?
Keyshawn would fight. I think he might just like roll over and say, oh, screw it.
Yeah, I'm actually in agreement on Kirk Morrison. He is a badass. But I'll tell you what, don't sleep on me in a zombie apocalypse.
Oh, please. You're the worst athlete here. The zombies
would trounce you. It doesn't take athlete. You got to be a killer, man. You got to be a killer. No, how do you kill a zombie, John?
You can't even run.
How do you kill a zombie?
I have no idea.
Stab them in the head.
In the head. Have you never watched Walking Dead? You've got to get at their brain.
Yeah. You can't even like jump over a bar. How are you going to kill a zombie?
That bar was 5 feet high.
All right. Bergman, who are you taking?
I'm taking Jorge. Okay. It's all about how you work together with people, and we work really well together, so we're going to get through all of that. All
right, that's actually a good point. Collaboration is a big
okay, so
reason.
You know
I think Kirk would just get angry at everybody else.
Okay, so you know in these national TV baseball games, they mic one of the players. Like a couple weeks ago, they did it with Mookie Betts. Last night, Dodgers-Giants on Sunday Night Baseball on ESPN, they did it with Cody Bellinger, and he was asked the same question that I just asked you guys. Here's how it went.
If you had to be in a zombie apocalypse with a teammate, so the zombies are coming to get you, but you need somebody to protect you, who's it going to be? Sorry, that's not for me. That's a fan.
I'm going to go Trace Thompson.
I like that.
I look to my right. I think he's the guy.
Big, strong guy.
Big, strong guy, athletic, intelligent. I don't know. I just feel like off the top of my head right now, looking around, I think that, you know, I think we'd have a pretty good chance.
Well, you're running, right? You're running, and he's going to protect.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. I don't have much I don't have much knowledge about, you know, weapons or anything like that. So, you know, I don't know if he does either, but, you know, we got the speed and he's got the athleticism. So he'll be all right, I think. We might survive for a few days.
Short-lived zombie apocalypse.
Yeah, it won't be long.
All right, so Trace Thompson, among the great year he's having, he's picked to be the zombie apocalypse
stopper. So I wonder what about Trace made him pick, like, what? Like
he said smart and athletic.
Yeah, that's true. He is definitely smart, and he's definitely athletic. Cody Bellinger was honest. He doesn't know how to use weapons.
Yeah, either. But by the way, Trace is a – am I right in assuming Trace is a lock for postseason
100%,
roster?
100%.
And so is Joey Gallo, right?
Yep, I think they're both going to make the roster. Don't you, Bergman? They're both going to make the roster.
Yeah, I think all those guys make the roster. It's just about who starts in the outfield, really, because it's going to be Mookie. I think Trace starts in center, to be honest with you.
Trace
and Cody
center.
Comes off
and
the bench?
It depends. If Cody
makes... Cody starts, he plays center, right?
Exactly. He plays center, and then Trace will be in left. But between Taylor, Gallo, and Bellinger, I think I'm taking Taylor to be that third outfield spot. And so you move Trace into the center and have Taylor be in the left.
I'd play Cody. Me too.
I'd play Cody.
And for this one reason. Last year in the postseason, his numbers were rock solid. So I think you at least have to start him, Mace, in the first playoff series, which won't be, by the way, until October 11th if the Dodgers get the bye.
Yeah.
And it seems like they're getting the bye.
They can clinch the bye tonight, by the way.
Can they?
With a win.
Did you guys see the schedule? This is a weird – I can't remember this. Tonight they open a series against the Diamondbacks.
Yeah.
It's a 5-game series against the Diamondbacks, including a doubleheader tomorrow. Greg, is that because of COVID? Because of the schedule at the beginning of the year?
Yeah, they're just different things that happen. Like, that's the same thing that's happening at the end of the year against the Rockies. They play 6 straight games at home against the Rockies to end the year.
Yeah, that's because the season started late and they had that weird thing. And
So a couple things I want to throw out there. First of all, I mentioned this. Sarah Lang is a great researcher for ESPN, MLB.com, all that kind of stuff. She says that with Mookie Betts hitting leadoff, Trey Turner in the number 2 spot, and Freddie Freeman batting 3rd, the Dodgers have 3 players who rank in baseball's top 10 in WAR, wins above replacement. And this is the first time in baseball history that the top 3 hitters of any lineup accomplished that together. Best start of a lineup in baseball history. you can make a case, ultimately, that this is the best lineup in baseball history. I mean, it's certainly right up there.
The one in my head that would have been, like, if you just would ask me, hey, what's the best 1-2-3 in the history of baseball? I probably would have said Big Red Machine, 70s, Pete Rose, Ken Griffey, Joe Morgan. Griffey won a batting title. Rose, of course, was the hit king, and Morgan won back-to-back MVPs. Rose would be in the Hall of Fame.
Sure, sure.
Morgan's in, right? I think Morgan's in. And then Griffey was, you know, unbelievable. But I think, objectively, Mookie Betts, Trey Turner, and Freddie Freeman, I would take over Pete Rose, Ken Griffey, and Joe Morgan, wouldn't you?
I would absolutely. I would absolutely. I mean,
that's saying something.
And let me tell you, you know, they are, all three of them are having great years. It's one thing to have them there. It's another thing for all three of them to be firing on full syllable.
Cylinders.
Cylinders, thank you.
Yeah.
Sibilance. So I strongly think this is the best lineup that I have seen in my lifetime. And I, you know, I'm a Dodger fan, and you can call me a homer and all that stuff. But statistically, it does hold up.
The other people would say, like, people would say the best offensive team ever is considered the 1927 Yankees. That's the one that had Ruth batting third and Garrick batting fourth.
Right, right.
But the two guys that hit in front of them were good. I mean, Earl Combs, who led off that year, hit 356.
Wow.
And Mark Koenig, the guy who hit second, hit 285. But neither one of those guys were, like, all-stars, like
Earl
Betts
Combs
and Freeman.
Earl Combs, it looks like, just numbers-wise, could have been an all-star and could have been wins above replacement, a good number, 15 steals, 23 triples, all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, no, I think it's saying something that we went back to the 1927 Yankees to compare the lineup to the Dodgers lineup. And maybe you make the case that it's the best lineup since the 27 years. It's the best lineup of the last 20 years. I think that's indisputable, don't you think?
Wait, Combs is in the Hall of Fame, so let me give him credit for that.
Yeah.
On that 27 team, he's one of six players in the Hall of Fame.
Wow.
The other five are Gehrig, Ruth, Wait, Hoyt, Herb Pennock, and Tony Lazzari. So that's
That's a crazy team.
Yeah, and by the way, the Dodgers are going to probably win as many games as they did.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. I mean, and you know, and they're just screwing around now too.
Right,
you know, they're just trying stuff. You know, a lot of detractors of Dave Roberts over the years, and I've never understood it. I've always been a big Dave fan. He is the ninth manager in baseball history to produce 400-win seasons, and the second quickest to accomplish it. So Dave Roberts has been unbelievably integral to the success of the Dodgers over the last decade. And you can say, well, he only won one World Series one time. You can say that, and it's true. But in terms of sustained success, getting into the tournament every year, winning 100 games in dominant, all that stuff, this is the best, holding World Series and playoffs aside, this is the best Dodger team I've seen.
The 2006 Yankees had Johnny Damon, Derek Jeter, Bobby Abreu, Gary Sheffield. I think the Dodgers are better.
Yeah, I do too. I do too, especially that 1-2-3. Especially the 1-2-3.
Yeah.
Dave Roberts doesn't get – by the way, Dodgers 101-44, they are the fourth team in Major League Baseball history to win 100 games four times in 6 years.
So they have 17 games left, and they've won 101. So they're going to break the record for best Dodger season ever, which is 106. How many do you think they're going to win?
110.
You think they're
going to go 9-8 the rest of the way?
No, they'll do better than that.
No, I mean, we're gonna see some guys start that we don't normally see start.
Yeah, but the Diamondbacks aren't any good. Like, these five games, I think they could go 4-1 against the Diamondbacks.
I know, but the games mean nothing to the Dodgers. Breaking records is fantastic, but I would much rather see this team totally tuned up and ready to go, particularly on the pitching side. that means giving some random guys some starts down the stretch. And I don't think those necessarily go well. But I do like the way – now, would you put Craig Kimbrell into a save situation now?
I would.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I would.
Isn't that amazing?
He's won me over. Yeah. Although he did give up that one 3-run homer that he gave up. But if you look at their relievers, they have so many options. But I would give Kimbrell the ball, and until he convinces me otherwise, I'd roll with him. He's hot. He's figured something out.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, coming up next for you, Rex Ryan has an interesting new endorsement. Have you seen this?
No.
Okay, we'll get to that. And then Bobcats coming up for you, too. Mesa and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
All right. By the way, Bergman, I saw on social media, I saw on Instagram that there was a birthday party for you over the weekend.
It was not for me. It was not for me. It was for Morales.
It was my birthday. Oh, it was for Chris Morales.
It's my birthday month. But yes, that was for Chris Morales, whose birthday it is today, by the way. So
hey, happy birthday, Morales.
Happy birthday, Chris.
Happy birthday.
Yeah, nice. So we had a party at Sunset Room by Jorge and on Saturday night. It was fun.
Did listeners show up?
Yeah, a few listeners did show up.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
That's nice. Good.
It was cool.
Good.
It was a lot of fun.
See. Well, good for Morales. He's important.
Happy birthday, Chris.
What we do here.
Feliz cumpleaños.
I'm told. All right. So, John, you remember the incident that Rex Ryan had a number of years back?
Yeah, the foot fetish thing.
The foot fetish. So he went on Pat McAfee and explained his brand new endorsement.
Here, I got it right here.
I know athlete's foot is a problem that people don't like to talk about.
Nope.
Having your foot be irritated or uncomfortable is something nobody likes to chat about. So Dr. Scholes and Rex Ryan have come together to create a new instant cool athlete treatment spray and wipes. Not only do they have this incredible product, they're also teaming up with the host of TLC's My Feet Are Killing Me, Dr. Brad Schaefer, okay, to really address and promote like good feet health. I think this is it's great for you. Obviously, the tie-in is amazing. How did this come together, and how pumped are you about this? I assume it's pretty exciting.
Yeah, I mean, it's cool. But when they first called Pat, I'm like, yeah, right. Like, somebody's busting my chops here. You know what I mean? No, we got this great product, and they actually sent it to me, and I'm like, all right, and anybody's had athlete's foot, you know it's like, oh, hell, that burns like hell, whatever. This stuff I spray, I'm like, damn, this thing's pretty good. I'm like, oh, I'm in. Like, we're going to do this. And look, it's funny, Pat, because I spent 30 years coaching or whatever. But there, in some circles, I'm known as that. That's the coach that has the foot fetish or whatever. I'm like, yep, that's me, mother. You're damn right I do. And you know, I'm guilty. Look, my wife is gorgeous. She's got gorgeous feet. But, you know, but when Dr. Scholes called, I'm like, oh, my God, this is hilarious. Like, they're choosing me.
It is.
But they're, like, explaining why. They're like, Rex, you know, two things we, you know, and they said, well, you know, I was uniquely qualified to do it. And I'm like, yes, I can do this, man, because I'm an expert in football and I'm an expert in feet. So what the hell, I'm going to do it. And I flat out own it.
There you go. So, the foot fetish thing is weird. It's an unbelievable tie-in for Dr. Scholes, because I think everybody remembers the foot thing with Rex Ryan. Do you have a foot thing?
You know what I say?
What?
Keep getting them checks, Rex.
Oh, yeah, no question.
I would jump on this in a heartbeat.
Do you have a foot thing?
No. I've never understood people with foot fetishes. It doesn't make any sense to me. But I suffer from athlete's foot.
Oh, yeah, so you should try the product. I don't think I have any fetish. I don't understand the foot fetish thing at all.
Yeah, me either.
I don't think I have necessarily. Bergman, what fetishes do you have?
Well, like this is too long. We don't have that much time in this program to go through everything. But
Bergman got a lot of
feet,
fetishes.
Not feet. I don't like feet. I feel like they're kind of weird looking for the most part.
Yeah, I am not a foot guy, but I understand some people are.
Hey, Mace, a couple of people in the you're what?
In the mafia?
What was that? What did you just say?
Oh, man. This is good.
True, though.
What did you say?
I just called yourself an ass man.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Oh, okay.
Awesome. What? What's wrong with that?
Nothing.
Good for you.
Yeah. Wasn't this a whole Seinfeld episode?
There was. There was Kramer.
Kramer got the wrong.
Hey, the ass man.
No, Kramer got the wrong personalized license plates in the mail, and he had ass man on there. And when he started driving around New York, girls started paying him more attention. And it turns out, Mace, the license plates were supposed to go to a proctologist.
Oh, really?
And the guy was, like, really mad that he didn't get his license plate.
And the license plate was ass man?
Yeah, because when he put it out there that was his thing, it apparently worked like a magnet.
I can't argue with that.
So you're saying I should get that?
Bergman?
Yeah.
See if – here it is.
Belong to me. I'm not the ass man. I think there's been a mistake.
What's your name again?
Cosmo Kramer.
Cosmo Kramer. You are the ass man.
Oh, man. That's great.
Yeah. So, Bergman, you are the heir apparent to the ass man.
You think
plates.
They'll give me that license plate?
Try. That was a New York plate. I'm guessing somebody in California already jumped on it.
I mean,
Somebody's got ass man.
I could be
Although,
ass man.
Although, are you allowed to use something like ass man as your license plate?
Well, in Seinfeld, you are.
Wouldn't it be offensive in some circle? Like, are you allowed to have FU as a license plate?
If it just says F and U.
I've seen FAQ before.
STFU can use that as a license plate?
I would
plate?
Think, yeah.
They might not allow that one.
As long as
LFG,
spell it out.
What about LFG?
For Tom Brady?
Well, LFG, let's F and go.
Yeah, that's Brady's thing. That's how
is that Brady's thing?
Well, that's how he signs autographs.
Really?
Yeah.
By the way, doesn't
Tom Brady, LFG.
Doesn't Tom Brady seem unhappy?
It's weird. Well, let me ask you this.
Yes.
So he goes over to the sidelines. He slams his helmet. He slams a tablet and breaks it.
Yep.
Does that, in your opinion, show competitive fire, or is he acting like a baby?
I personally think it's competitive fire.
Me
and
too.
The other thing, I think it's like,
I like
get
it.
Rid of this Microsoft tablet and give me an iPad like the rest of the world. Seriously, have you ever seen anybody use a Microsoft tablet except on the NFL side?
Well, that's what Microsoft's paying for.
I know, but it's like, get an iPad. It works better. By the way, he called Marshawn Lattimore. He said, "You're an effing bee."
Right.
That's what sort of incited
the beginning of that fight. Disagree with the suspension of Mike Evans today. They suspended Mike Evans for next week and because he came over and body slammed Marcus Lattimore. And I thought what Evans said when the official said, "What are you doing?" He said, "It's Tom Brady. What do you want me to do? You want me these guys to just be able to tee off on Tom Brady?" I thought if you're going to – this was in the old days. Like if you made a run at Wayne Gretzky.
Yeah.
Marty McSorley would beat the crap out of you.
Sure.
And doesn't Tom Brady kind of have the same aura around him?
I would think so.
You can't blame one of Brady's teammates for standing up for Tom Brady.
What do you think of him taking every Wednesday off? That's apparently he's made an announcement. He's going to take every Wednesday off from practice and from the team.
Second I heard it, you know what I thought?
What?
Don't give this story to Mason because he'll try it.
Every Wednesday.
Mason, isn't this something Mason would try and put into his deal?
Oh, that's such a good idea.
Absolutely.
100%. Every Wednesday. Well, but it worked for Tom Brady. You could ask for it.
Yep, it absolutely
did. And see
what
it happens. I have no problem with it. I think there are certain guys that, you know, a lot of people don't know this. In his last 2 or 3 years, Kobe didn't practice very much. He was pretty beat up. If you've got a guy of that stature, you can bend the rules for Tom Brady. Come on. Would you rather have Tom Brady as your quarterback with Wednesdays off or, I don't know, Jameis Winston as your quarterback and he's there every day? I remember one time Phil Jackson suggested, he kind of put it out into the ether, that he would continue to coach the Lakers if they would let him coach just the home games.
Right.
And Mitch Kupchak, who was the GM at the time, was like, no, we would never allow that. And my attitude was, if it lets you keep Phil Jackson, I would consider it. Have Kurt Rambis coach the road games? Have Phil coach the home games? Let's see.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't have
dismissed it as quickly as Mitch did.
Yeah, I get it. I mean, you've got the greatest – you know, living basketball coach in history. Why wouldn't you take him half the time?
I thought the same thing. But, yeah. You know, certain people are worth making exceptions for. And I would say Tom Brady is, Phil Jackson is. There, you know, there's a handful of guys.
The other thing is, you know, New York Post and all these gossipy things say that he's having problems in his marriage. I mean, you know, take Wednesdays off. That's, you know, a priority, all that kind of stuff, and fix things with Giselle. Because, you know, there's all kinds of reports out there. So hopefully he pieces it back together.
Yeah, I do think this is the last year he's going to play.
Me too.
Reading his body language and the tea leaves and everything else. So, but I think they got a chance to win the Super Bowl.
There's no doubt. All right, coming up next for you, Bobcat Bergman's going to throw a bunch of stuff at us. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Thank you very much, Chris and Amanda. All right, so did you see that Mark Davis skipped the Raiders home game to go watch the Las Vegas Aces win the title?
Well, he owns them, too.
Right.
Yeah, he's an owner.
He bought the Aces in 2021 and won a championship this year under Becky Hammond. So what do you think of this decision to not go to the Raider game, the first home opener?
Because on a night where the Aces had a chance to win the WNBA championship, I would have done what he did. Why? Yeah. I mean, you can't be two places at once. And let's put it this way. The entire time he owns the Aces, there will never be a bigger game than the one he was at.
Yeah.
You know, so we have more power to – I would – Mace, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you have gone to the Aces game?
Yeah, I mean, there's a difference between a high-leverage game and a low-leverage game. I mean, the Raiders, you know, trying to avoid 0-2, I totally get that. At the same time, who knows – this is the first professional championship in the history of the city of Las Vegas, isn't it?
The Knights went to the Stanley Cup Finals but didn't win it.
Didn't win. I think this is their first championship.
UNLV won a couple of national titles in college basketball, but that doesn't count. Yeah.
Yeah,
I think it is.
So first championship for Vegas. I totally get Mark Davis going to that.
All right. I know we've talked about this 100 times, and you all say the same thing, but is this now enough to get Becky Hammond a job in the NBA?
No.
No.
God, it's too bad.
Yeah,
all she's done is won. She was coach of the year. She won in her first year. She can go. Like, what if Greg Popovich leaves?
Four major sports. Okay, yeah. Basketball, baseball, football.
I know there hasn't been one yet, but she's perfect.
Well, I mean, they used to say the same thing about Nancy Lieberman. I mean,
but Nancy Lieberman doesn't have a WNBA title,
right? But I just think it's a big hill to climb. Although Pau Gasol told me once, he thinks Becky Hammond could coach in the NBA.
Yeah.
I mean, unfairly, I don't think it's going to happen. Is it going to happen in our lifetime?
Maybe. Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. I don't think it's imminent. But
when is Pop leaving?
Soon, but when he even when he stepped down last year for a couple of games, he had Tim Duncan take over. He didn't even have Becky do it. So I think he knows the obstacles that exist. But you know, if she wins a couple more of these. Maybe she becomes too good. I mean, a lot of people used to suggest Pat Summitt or Gino Auriemma as a potential NBA coach, and they.
Well, but Gino Auriemma's a man,
right? But they've never been okay. So look at Gino. Gino's a man, has won what 10 titles?
Too many,
and he's never been given a chance. So
yeah that's
a tall order.
Has he been in the running for jobs before?
No, I don't think so.
Why would he leave there?
Well, money.
Sure,
you get paid more. You
I mean,
go to the
he
NBA
wins all the time.
Yeah, that's one of those things where you win nonstop and you've got a steady stream of great, great prospects. So, yeah, I mean, I see why he wouldn't leave. But, I don't get the vibe that Becky Hammond or that the NBA is ready. Unfairly, I think Becky Hammond can coach and could coach an NBA team and coach it well. But I just think it's a big hill to climb.
Bobcat.
Did you happen to see what Ryan Reynolds did? He turned 45 recently, and he lost a bet to friend Rob McElhaney. I don't know exactly how to say
Rob
that.
Rob McElhaney.
Yeah, Rob McElhaney is an actor, and they co-own that soccer team.
Wrexham.
And he's from Always Funny or Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Yeah, very funny guy. So since he hit that age where colonoscopies become a thing, he had to film himself getting one. They actually turned it into a really cool thing where they found a polyp, and it could have saved his life. So they are using it to promote health and getting checked. But would you ever film any type of procedure like that?
I've had three of them, and I would be happy to film them.
Really?
I've had three colonoscopies, yeah, because I have a history of colon cancer in my family. Basically, they're sticking a camera in there to, you know, try and find trouble. And didn't Katie Couric have
she
this
did it
done
live on
the Today Show because
yeah,
her husband
died
from prostate cancer? So it's not Greg, it's not all that unusual. He's not the first guy to do this.
Mm-hmm. But he's very well known.
Right.
But yeah,
yeah, I would
do
it.
You know what?
I have no issue with it.
It certainly raises awareness because, I mean, I even noticed this with myself. Guys don't really care about going to the doctors. Have you noticed that?
Yep.
It's like we just cruise along and assume everything's fine. I haven't had a checkup in probably 3-4 years. I really should go do it. But guys are bad about their physical health and acknowledging any issues they have. So good for Ryan Reynolds. It raises awareness, and they did find something, so it's really cool. Go get your colonoscopy if you're over the age of 45, if you're a guy or a woman.
Bobcat.
All right, Jorge, what you got?
Okay, so over the weekend, I came across this interesting article that reads, quote, "It tastes like a tomato, smells like a tomato, and even looks mostly like a tomato. There's just one catch. It's purple." The USDA has approved a genetically modified purple tomato, clearing the path for the unique fruit to be sold in America stores next year. How do you feel about eating genetically modified food?
Genetically modified food, I don't really have a problem with, but this is a really weird quirk about me as an eater. I love Italian food. I love tomato sauce. I love red sauce. I love white sauce.
Right.
I don't like tomatoes.
Oh, really?
I take them if I have a burger, or I take them off.
They're so good, though.
Yeah, I'm just, to me, they don't taste like anything. But what's weird is I love sauce. I love tomato sauce. So I wouldn't be the guy to try the purple tomatoes, but I would have no objection if, Bergman, if you tried them.
Do you like
the way,
ketchup?
If you want to avoid genetically modified food, good luck. It's all genetically modified.
That's a good point. Yeah.
You know, we don't know what the hell we're eating. You know, I always got a big plate of tomatoes on the counter with a little olive oil, a little vinegar,
Lisa does
a little
too.
Salt
My
and pepper.
Wife does too.
So friggin' good.
Bobcat.
All right, so Mets manager Buck Showalter did an interview with what is this? Oh, SI's Stephanie Epstein, and this quote came up. "I have never said, man, I became a better person because of something I read Winston Churchill say or Aristotle. How much weight do you put into philosophers and other feel-good inspirational quotes?"
I used to collect quotes and, you know, keep them. And just for inspiration. And when I had a bad year where Lisa got diagnosed with cancer, I lost a couple of jobs, and I just decided, okay, I'm going to pull these quotes out when I need them, and they'll make – I think inspirational quotes can work. I like them.
Do you remember any Churchill quotes?
The one that's saved on that list of mine
– yep.
Is do you know the one about going through hell?
Yeah, if you're going through hell, keep going.
Yep.
Yeah. I'm always amazed when people can quote things. Like, I don't have the ability to quote, you know, Aristotle or Churchill off the top of my head. I'm always impressed when somebody does. By the way, a great Churchill quote, and this is actually more true now than it was when Churchill was the Prime Minister of England. "A lie gets halfway around the world before the truth has a chance to get its pants on."
All right, I'll give you a couple of good ones that was on my list that I threw in my phone, okay?
Okay.
"I know God will not give me anything I can't handle. I just wish he didn't trust me so much." That's Mother Teresa.
Oh, wow.
How about this? "There's nothing that cleanses your soul like getting the hell kicked out of you."
Yeah.
That's Woody Hayes.
So we should get into a fight?
No, like Woody Hayes is when he...
Yeah, he fought a Clemson player during a bowl game.
Yeah, that was the end of his career. Punched that guy in the stomach.
Yep,
remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Let's fight, Ireland.
What's that?
Let's fight.
Yeah, you're
fight
20 years younger than me. I think you would win. Here's a good one. "Nothing in the world will take the place of persistence. Talent will not. Nothing is more common than unsuccessful men with talent. Genius will not. Unrewarded genius is almost a proverb. Education will not. The world is full of educated derelicts. Persistence and determination are omnipotent. The slogan 'Press On' has solved and always will solve the problems of the human race." That from our most boring president ever, Calvin Coolidge.
Oh, Coolidge. Nobody quotes Coolidge.
There you go.
Yeah, I like the Chinese proverb, "Fall down 8 times, get up 8. Or, I'm sorry, yeah. Fall down eight times, get up nine.
So, you're short one there.
If you fall down eight times and stay down, you've quit. You got to get up the ninth time. But I love that one. But I was impressed when somebody's able to quote off the top
Bergman,
of head.
Here's one for you.
Okay.
I have heard there are troubles of more than one kind. Some come from ahead and some come from behind. But I've brought a big bat. I'm all ready, you see, and now my troubles will have troubles with me.
Ooh, I like that. Who's that?
Dr. Seuss.
Yeah, Dr. Seuss.
Oh, I like that.
Big fan of that one.
Okay, there
Bob
you go.
Bobcat.
Thank you very much. All right, so Leonard Fournette tweeted today, to my fantasy owners, I'm sorry. Touchdown's coming soon. How do you feel about athletes tweeting about fantasy football?
I think they're in touch with the real world.
Yep, me too.
Because that's what everybody thinks about Leonard Fournette right now. Why the hell hasn't he scored any touchdowns?
It is very endearing
if you own
to
Cam
own.
If you own Cam Akers right now and you haven't said the word fantasy in the last 2 weeks, you're crazy. That's all people are thinking about.
Yeah, no, it's and good for him. I mean, it's out there and, you know, it's funny to acknowledge it. And ultimately, it doesn't matter. But a lot of people have invested their time, energy, and emotion in Leonard Fournette. They're expecting a touchdown. He says one's coming. Good for him. I hope they start happening for fantasy owners. By the way, my fantasy football team, John, which won this week, which should be breaking news in itself.
that you're 2-0.
I'm 2-0. My fantasy football team, I started who's the guy in Houston?
The receiver,
Rex
running back?
Burkhead. Okay. Rex Burkhead, I started, who got no points. And Ezekiel Elliott, I started, who got 2 points. So
but
all my
won
damage,
anyway.
All
well,
my damage
finally,
was done by wide receiver.
It took you 20 years to figure it out. But you finally paid attention to the thing I've been telling you about forever. Mm. In our league, you cannot mail it in at quarterback. You have to have an impactful quarterback.
Yeah.
And when you drafted Mahomes, I knew right then and there you were not coming in last.
Yes.
He will keep you in every game this year.
No tattoo on my ass.
There you go.
Bobcat.
All right, a little kick it off the planet. This is a random one that I guess I did last week. I hope I didn't do it. Ranch dressing or barbecue sauce? Mm.
I use barbecue sauce more than I use ranch dressing, so I'll keep barbecue sauce and kick the ranch dressing off the planet.
I would kick the ranch dressing off the planet.
Really?
Also, but if it was blue cheese dressing, which I use like on wings and stuff like that, I would keep the blue cheese. But since it's ranch. It's that I would kick it off.
Blue cheese is disgusting, by the way.
Oh, blue cheese is so good. Are you kidding me? Wings and blue cheese?
Oh,
that's like, oh my God, that's like hand in hand.
Mold.
They go so well.
Not good at all. Keeping the barbecue sauce too. How about you, Jorge?
Barbecue sauce, keeping that.
Barbecue
for the nuggets.
John, yeah. How does the barbecue story go?
We were
at the ESPN Zone in Anaheim,
right? And somebody walked by and said, "They brought us a big plate of chicken fingers," and somebody said, "This is a very nice waitress." Said, "Would you guys like some sauce?" And Mason was getting ready to go on the air, and for some reason, you just screamed at her in a very angry voice, Barbecue!
Why did
and
she yell at her?
She jumped back. And Mason, he was getting ramped up to start the show. I think he was getting ready to do a growl.
In that mode, hey, barbecue!
Hey, guys, would you like some sauce? Barbecue!
I wish so was when on you tape. Hear,
when the word barbecue comes up, I'll always yell it that way just to make fun of Mason, but that's the background.
You know, I've heard you do that a million times. I had no idea.
Never knew the story.
Yeah, I did not know the backstory.
Yeah, yeah. Some poor waitress. Hey, guys, you need any sauce?
Barbecue!
Scared the hell out of that girl.
All right, let's see. Coming up next for you. Don't forget, it's Million Dollar Mondays, your next chance to win with Sedano and Cap coming up. In the meantime, let's circle back to the two big NFL games today,
okay.
Yesterday. The Rams survive, the Raiders do not. Let's dig into that coming up next. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.